In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord says some amazing words, incongruous words, to most people in the world. Words that did not seem to have their place until He followed up with His words, with His actions after these words. He said to the woman who had just lost her son, "Weep not." Sometimes I think the shortest, most succinct verses in the Scripture are the most powerful, because behind this "weep not" is a promise. It is a promise that we will not weep. It is a promise that God will bring us gladness, that all things will be made new. He came so that we would not weep. That is, eternally weep. As for weeping in the world, there is a time and a place for it, but it must be the right kind of weeping. It must be weeping because of our sins, and weeping because of our great desire to follow the commandments and our lack of following them. But the Lord said, "Weep not," to this woman who had just lost her son, her means of living. Not only had she lost her husband, but now her son. And she had no way in order to survive. So her sadness was not only for her beloved son, but also wondering what would tomorrow bring. And it would be a difficult tomorrow. And she knew this. But the Lord said, "Weep not." And then He came without any more comment, and He touched the bier, and they stood still. This action by the Lord has great significance. Our Lord became man for our sake because He loves us. And so touching the bier shows His love for humanity. And then they stood still. If they had kept walking, if they considered His touching the bier to be an intrusion and someone would have maybe pushed Him off, then this miracle would not have happened. But they stood still. Now the Lord is starting to explain to us, not with words, but with His actions, how it is that we will weep not. Let's face it, in the world there is a lot of great sadness. Sometimes we're sad about specific events and things and situations. And sometimes we're just dysfunctionally sad, depressed, despondent, in a way that we cannot act upon what we're sad about. We're just paralyzed in our sadness. There's a great amount of that in the world today. It's an epidemic. And the world tries to treat it with medicines and with techniques and with entertainments and with pleasures. But there is only one treatment for the weeping that man has, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no other solution. So these people, when they stood still, showed us something very important. Shall we say, a non-verbal teaching of the Lord. If you do not stand still, you cannot hear the Lord. If you do not quiet yourself, you'll never hear Him. You know the story of Elias. He had just done a great work, killed all the prophets of Baal. But then he got frightened because Jezebel was after his head. And so he ran. And after he was fed by the raven, he went 40 days to Mount Horeb. And then there was an earthquake, a flood, and a fire. And it says in the Scripture, the Lord was not in any of these. And then there was this still, small voice. And Elijah, when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle because he knew the Lord was in the voice. But he was still to hear the voice. You cannot hear a voice that is quiet unless you're quiet. You cannot hear the Lord unless you struggle against your passions, because your passions are the noise. Your sins, your bad desires, your false ideas, Those are the noise. And this last epistle that we read, the one for the Optina elders today, this one also gives us some insight into how we can stand still so that we can learn not to weep. It describes the fruit of the Spirit and, of course, says beautiful things about what the fruit of the Spirit is. Well, fruit, of course, takes time to grow. And it takes activity and work in order to make it grow. And then the Lord says, through the Apostle Paul, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. This is part of what it takes to stand still. The Lord spoke about crucifixion many times, not just of Himself. He said we must take up the cross and follow Him. He also said that the one who would save his life would lose it. The one who would lose his life for my sake and the Gospel's, the same will save it. This is basically where we value what is in the world versus what is Christ. We make a comparison. And there is nothing in the world that compares to Christ. So we crucify our desires for those things. When our heart tells us that it is shriveling a little bit, or that it's a little dark, or that it's a little cold because of something that we desire in the world, not necessarily a physical thing, mind you, it could be our own vanity or anger or jealousy or whatever else. Usually it is really those things, more those things than material things. But when our heart feels this constriction, then we must turn to Christ and we must attempt, with our feeble attempts, but augmented by God's grace, to crucify ourselves to those things, to not give ourselves a right, a privilege, to be angry or to be jealous or to judge someone or to covet something or to be ambitious or all the rest. This is what will bring us to stillness. Also, another key in this epistle to the Galatians is where St. Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Of course, bearing of burdens comes about in a heart that loves God and loves man. Therefore, that heart has fulfilled the first and greatest commandment and the second one, which is like it. Now, there's much to be sad about in the world. I have many things that make me sad too. But if you bear other people's burdens, you think of others and not of yourself. This is truly a key. I have found it true in my life that the more I think of others, the less I think of myself. And even if I'm very sad, and even paralyzed in sadness, if I can think of others, somehow, things become better. So, brothers and sisters, we have a promise from the Lord. The promise when He says, "Weep not," is that you will someday not weep. Because He would not give us a command that won't be fulfilled. Because everything that the Lord commands will be fulfilled. So, how do we weep not? What is it in your life that makes you very sad, perhaps even very depressed, despondent, dysfunctional? You can work on those things individually, it's not wrong to work on those things individually, but it is critically of paramount importance that you follow the way of Christ and not your own way. Because your own way is always going to get you in trouble. Every single time. And so we follow the way of Christ. And the way of Christ is the way of sacrifice. It's not a popular idea. You can see that sacrifice is being taken out of contemporary Christianity. And the worship of self is being substituted. But that will bring no peace. It will bring a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of happiness here and there, but ultimately, no peace. The peace that we will obtain is from the crucifixion of our flesh with its affections and lusts, and to bear one another's burdens. Now, after the Lord had said, "Weep not," and touched the bier and made them stop, and they stood still, he said emphatically, "As God, I say to thee, arise." Because he is God, he can say that. And it will be fulfilled. And so it is with us too. We have our things that we weep over. But God will say to us, "Arise." Now in this case, it was something that happened instantly. The man immediately got up. This is not always the case. In fact, in the world, it is in our lives, it is not the case. It takes time for us to fully arise. It is a process of resurrection. It is not immediately standing up. So, brothers and sisters, if you are sad about something, if you are depressed, despondent, if you find it hard to find purpose in your life, then recognize that this is because you have lost sight of Jesus Christ. Because he is standing there. He is truly saying, "Weep not." And he is touching you. And if you would stand still, you would hear him. The stillness is a gift from God. But it is a gift that is only obtained if we pursue it. This stillness must come from prayer, from fasting, from struggle, from bearing others' burdens, and from attempting in our own small way, always though augmented by God's grace, to crucify our flesh with its affections and lusts. This is the key to happiness, brothers and sisters, in this world and in the next. All the psychological solutions are very limited in scope, and they will never completely cure. The only thing that will completely cure a man is to stand still and listen to Christ. So, I beg of you, let's talk about practicalities now. It's good to know the gospel, to know the promises, but sometimes, okay, I know that, now how do I do it? I don't have a clue. Let's talk practically. I beg of you to do things in your life so that you can learn to stand still. That is, pray when you get up in the morning. All right, perhaps you get up too late. Perhaps things are too hectic in the morning. If you're capable, get up 15 minutes earlier. If that doesn't happen because the devil does not allow it, because you're too weak, then do not give in. At least say some prayer in the morning. I've told you before about the four bows. This is a good way to begin the morning so that you can have some stillness in your heart. It takes 30 seconds to do. It takes longer than that to brush our teeth or to pick out a shirt. So that's very important. It's critically important that you always be reading the gospel. Read it every day. If you can read a chapter, that would be good. If you can read just the reading for the day, that would be good. It's easy to get it. I have it in every single possible way. On my computer, on my phone, in the gospel that I carry. It's always available. Read the gospel with intent, begging the Lord to show you the truth. Not just the syntactical meaning of the words, but these words apply to you. Each one of those words is basically the Lord saying to you, "Weep not," and giving you the means to fulfill his command. If your life is hectic, and you find yourself basically just doing a bunch of stuff and really having very little direction, try to focus yourself on helping others. whatever it might be, anything where you focus on others with, of course, the intent to offer this to God, will help you to obtain stillness. Whether that be praying for others or some other task, whether it be a physical one or not, these things will help you. Absolutely, positively, you must, if you are to obtain stillness, pray for those that you love and those that you don't love so much. Those two categories of people, the ones that you love, your family, friends, people that you are close to, and also the ones that give you trouble, the ones that when you think about them, there's this little scrunching up of your heart. There's this little darkness that comes over you. Those two classes of people you must pray for every day. And if you do not know how to pray, God will teach you. But in the meantime, all you need do is say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon the person that you want to pray for. That's all. So if you have 12 names, pray 12 times. If you want to pray with prostrations or with bows, that is also very good because it helps warm up the body and sort of opens us up more to God. But the most critical thing is that you do pray for others. I recommend strongly that you write down names of people, not a long list, not 300 names, you won't do that. You'll do that once and then you'll be tired and you won't do it again for another week. Write down names on a note card, for instance, and have it in your prayer book or in your pocket and pray for people without fail, at least once each day. This is where you are trying to bear the burdens of others and think of them and not of yourself. There are many other things, practical things that you can do. Certainly, the reading of all Scripture is good. The reading of the Psalter is extremely good because the Psalter is the expressions many times of a man that is very sad, but he's active. The laments of David show a man in great crisis, but he is crying out to God. And it is clear that he is just not standing there. He is active. Fasting is very good to calm the soul. Many of you don't fast very well. If you would fast a little bit better, I think you would see an improvement. You can talk to me about that. Also, the services and Holy Eucharist and confession are important. You know all these things. So this is not a laundry list. This is things that you know are good for you. But it starts with you desiring to stand still so that you can hear our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you. Because He is speaking to you at all moments. That is what must motivate you for all these things. Fasting without trying to stand still will do you no good at all. Coming to the services and having your mind somewhere else does you no good at all. Desiring to stand still, even if you're not able to, even if you're, shall we say, fidgety, God will honor that if you struggle to hear Him. So those are just a few examples of things that you can do. The primary thing is, seek the Lord. He is the only one who gives any meaning to our existence. Everything is meaningless without Him. So may God help you to seek Him. May God help you to feel His touch and to stand still and to hear Him. Amen.